Widow Foulon. Mrs. Foulon, who died in Antibes on February 3, 1865, had lived for quite some time in Havre, where she earned the reputation as a skillful miniature painter. Her noteworthy talent at first served her only as an enjoyable distraction. Later, however, when she was beset with bad days, she learned to take advantage of her craft as a precious resource. What made her especially beloved and esteemed, what made her memory so dear to all who knew her, was her admirable nature and her personal qualities, which only those who knew her intimately appreciated in all their fullness. Like all those who possess the innate sentiments of the good, she did not flaunt her qualities. Perhaps she wasn't even aware of them. If there was ever anyone who did not allow herself to be dominated by selfishness, it was undoubtedly this woman. The sentiment of personal selflessness has perhaps never been taken so far. She was always ready to sacrifice her repose, her health, and her own interest for people for whom she could be useful. From her youth onward, her life had been a long series of sacrifices as well as harsh trials, in the face of which her courage, resignation, and perseverance never faltered. However, due to the painstaking nature of her craft, her eyesight weakened day by day, so that after some time she was completely blind. When Mrs. Foulon was introduced to the Spiritist doctrine, it seemed to her a ray of light. It seemed that a veil had been lifted, enabling her to see something that was not foreign exactly, but about which she had had only a vague intuition. She studied it ardently, endowed with that lucidity of spirit and righteousness of judgment that were proper of her elevated intelligence. One would have to know about all the perplexities of her life, perplexities that never pertained to her own life per se, but to the lives of those whom she loved, in order to understand how much consolation she found in the sublime revelation that provided her with an unshakable faith in the future and showed her the emptiness of earthly things. Her death was as dignified as her life. She felt it drawing near without any bashful apprehension. For her, it was a deliverance from earthly ties that would open to her the spiritual and blessed way with which she had identified herself by studying Spiritism. She died in peace, for she was aware of having fulfilled the mission she had accepted upon coming to the earth, and of having scrupulously accomplished her duties as a wife and mother. Also, because during her life she had avoided any resentment towards those who offended her and those who had repaid her with ungratefulness. She always repaid evil with good, and left life forgiving everyone in order to hand herself over to the goodness and justice of God. She finally died with the peacefulness of a pure conscience, and certain that she would be no less separated from her children than during corporeal life, since she could still be with them in spirit, wherever they might be on the globe, in order to help them with her counsels and to cover them with her watch care. When we first heard about Mrs. Foulon's death, our initial desire was to converse with her. The friendly and sympathetic relationship that the Spiritist doctrine aroused between us explains a few of her expressions and her casual language. Paris, February 6th, 1865, 3 days after death.
I was certain you would evoke me soon after my liberation, and I was ready to answer, for I didn't experience any state of confusion. Only those who are terrorists of fear become confused. Well, my friend, I'm happy now. These poor eyes, which had become weakened and only kept a memory of the sights that had colored my youth with their glimmering luminosity, have been reopened here and have rediscovered the splendid horizons that some of your great artists idealized in their pale reproductions, but whose majestic reality, austere and yet full of enchantment, comprises the most complete reality. It has only been 3 days since I passed away, and I already feel like an artist. My aspirations concerning the ideal beauty of the art were the institution of faculties that I had studied and acquired in other existences, and which I developed during my last one. But what must I do in order to produce a masterpiece worthy of the grandeur that touches my spirit in this region of light? Paintbrushes, paintbrushes. I shall prove to the world that spiritus art is the crowning of pagan art, of Christian art endangered at this time, and that to spiritism alone is reserved the glory of reviving it in all its splendor on your barren world. But enough of an artist, for now, my friend. Dear friend, why are you so distraught over my death, especially knowing what you know about the disappointments and bitterness of my life? You should instead be joyful at seeing that I no longer have to drink from the bitter cup of earthly sorrows that I had to drain to the dregs. You should believe that the dead are happier than living. To mourn them would be to doubt the truth of spiritism. You will see me again, be sure of that. I was the first to depart because my job on that world was over. All persons have theirs and must accomplish it while on earth. When yours is over, you will rest with me for a little while. Then we will begin again, if necessary, since it is not natural to remain idle. All have their tendencies and follow them. This is a supreme law that demonstrates the power of free will. So, my good friend, be indulgent, charitable, sentiments that we all mutually need, whether in the visible world or in the invisible one. By living according to this motto, everything will turn out well. You would not tell me to end this conversation. However, you know this has already been a rather lengthy first-time communication, and that is why I will leave you now in order to my excellent friend Mr. Cardite. I want to thank you for the affectionate words you spoke to friend who preceded you to the grave. We almost left together for this world in which I find myself, my dear friend, an allusion to Mr. Cardite's illness, about which Dr. Demure spoke. What would the dear companion of your life have said if the good spirits had not helped you in time? Yes, she would have wept and groaned, which is understandable, but now she must see to it that you avoid exposing yourself again to such dangers before you have finished the work of initiating the spiritist movement. If she doesn't, you run the risk of arriving here among us much sooner than you should, and like Moses, of not seeing the promised land except from afar. So keep on your guard. I'm warning you as a friend. I shall leave now. I want to return to my dear children. Then I'm going beyond the seas to see my wandering if she finally arrived in port, or is at the mercy of a storm. May the good spirits protect her. I'm going to rejoin them for that purpose. I will return to converse with you, for I am an untiring talker, as you will certainly recall. Until then, my good and dear friends, so long.
February 8, 1865. My dear Mrs. Foulon, I was very pleased with your communication the other day, and your promise to continue conversing with us. I realized perfectly well that it was in fact you who were communicating. You spoke about things that the medium could not possibly have known about, and which could have only come from you yourself. Furthermore, your affectionate language towards us was certainly that of your loving soul. And in your words, there was a certainty, a balance, and a firmness that I did not perceive during your life. You will recall that I allowed myself to admonish you more than once on certain occasions.
That is true. But since that time I became seriously ill, I have recovered from the firmness of spirit that I had lost due to the sorrows and vicissitudes that at times made me feel apprehensive about life. I said to myself, you are a spirit, forget the earth. Prepare yourself for the transformation of your being. Through your thought, see the illumined pathway that your soul must follow upon leaving your body, and which will lead it, happy and free, to the celestial spheres where you must live from here on out. You might think that I was a bit presumptuous in counting on perfect happiness upon leaving the earth behind, but I had suffered so much that I felt I surely must have expiated all my wrongs of that lifetime and the previous ones. That intuition did not delude me. Rather, it was what gave me courage, tranquility, and firmness during my final moments. Such firmness naturally increases when, after my liberation, I saw my hopes realized.
Would you mind describing to us your passage, your awakening, and your first impressions?
Indeed, I did suffer, but my spirit was stronger than the physical suffering which the disengagement made it endure. After my last breath, I passed through a sort of sinscope, losing consciousness of my condition, not perceiving anything, in a vague somnolence which was neither the sleep of the body nor the awakening of the soul. I remained like that for quite some time. Afterward, as if I were emerging from a long fainting spell, I awoke little by little and found I was surrounded by friends whom I did not recognize. They lavished care and attention on me. They showed me a point in space that resembled a shining star and said, "You are going there with us, for you no longer belong to the earth." Then I remembered. I was aided by them as we formed a graceful group rushing towards the realms unknown, with the certainty of finding happiness. We rose and rose, and the star grew bigger and bigger in front of us. It was a happy world, a higher world on which your good friend was going to finally find rest. I mean rest with respect to the bodily fatigue that I had endured and the vicissitudes of the earthly life, not idleness of spirit. For spirit activity is a source of enjoyment.
So you left Earth forever?
I left behind too many loved ones to have abandoned them forever. I will return in spirit, for I have a mission to fulfill together with my children. You know good and well that no obstacle can oppose the visit of the spirits from worlds that are superior to Earth.
Doesn't your current situation seem to weaken your relationships with those you have left behind on this world?
No, my friend. Love draws the souls together. Believe me, you can be on earth and be closer to those who have attained perfection than those whose inferiority and selfishness make them whirl around the terrestrial sphere. Charity and love are the two drives behind a powerful attraction. They form a tie which binds the union of souls, and which continues regardless of distance and place. There is a distance for physical bodies only, but not for spirits.
What is your opinion now about my efforts regarding spiritism?
I find that you are a missionary and that your burden is heavy, but I also see the goal and know that you will reach it. I will help you as much as I can with my spirit counsels so that you may overcome all the difficulties you meet. I will suggest certain appropriate measures to take during your life regarding the movement of renewal brought by spiritism. Your friend Demure, together with Spirit of Truth, will be more useful still, since he is wiser and more capable than I. But since I know that the assistance of the good spirits is strengthening and sustaining you in your work, you may be assured that I can guarantee you my help anywhere at any time.
From some of what you have stated, one might deduce that you will not take a highly personal and active part in the work of spiritism.
You are mistaken. It's just that I see so many other spirits who are more capable than I am at addressing such an important matter. Hence, a sentiment of invincible timidity prevents me at the present from responding to you as you would wish. Perhaps in time I will be more courageous and bold, but it is necessary that I get to know these spirits better. After all, it has only been 4 days since my death, and I am still dazzled by everything around me. My friend, don't you understand? I'm not able to express the new sensations I'm experiencing. I need to strengthen myself in order to overcome the allure that these marvels hold. For now, I can only worship and give thanks to God for His works. But this allure will pass. The spirits have assured me that I will soon grow used to all these magnificent things. And then with my lucidity as a spirit, I will be able to deal with all the issues regarding Earth's renewal. Meanwhile, remember that at the moment, especially, I have a family to console. Goodbye for now. I will see you soon. Your good friend loves you and always will. My teacher, because you provided her with the only lasting and true consolation she had while on earth.
This communication was given to her children on February 9th.
My children, my loved ones, God has taken me from you, but the recompense he has granted me is very great when compared with the little I did while on earth. Resign yourselves, my good children, before the designs of the Most High. Draw the strength to support the trials of your lives from all that he has allowed you to receive. Always hold firm in your hearts that belief which made my passing so easy from the earth life to the life that awaits us when we leave that inferior world. God intended inexhaustible goodness to me after my death, just as he did when I was still on earth. I give him thanks for all the benefits he has granted you. Bless him, my children. Bless him always and at all times. Never lose sight of the goal that has been shown to you or the route that you must follow. Think of your use of the time God has granted you on earth. You will be happy, my dear ones. You will be happy if you remain united. You will be happy with your own children if you instruct them on the path of good, the path that God has allowed to be revealed to you. You cannot see me, but you can be sure that the tie that binds us together on earth was not broken with the death of my body, because it was not the body that connected us, but the spirit. That is why, my dear ones, thanks to the goodness of the Almighty, I will be able to guide you still and encourage you in your progress so that we can be with one another again later. Press on, my children. Cultivate that sublime belief with the same love. Good days are reserved for you who believe. This has already been told to you, but it was not for me to see such days on earth. It is from higher up that I will appreciate those happy times promised by our good, just, and merciful God. Please don't weep, my children. May these communications strengthen your faith and your love for God, who has given you so many gifts and who so many times sent your help to your mother. Pray at all times. Prayer will strengthen you. Abide by the teachings I so ardently followed during the life God granted me. I will return to you, my children, but for now, I must go help my other poor daughter, who still needs me so much. Goodbye. I will see you again soon. Believe in the goodness of the Almighty. I am praying for you. Goodbye.
Any serious and enlightened spiritist will easily see the instruction that may be derived from these communications, but we will nonetheless call attention to a couple of points. The first is the fact that this example shows us the possibility that it might not be necessary to reincarnate on the earth, but that we may instead pass from it to a higher world without becoming separated from the loved ones we have left behind. Thus, those who fear reincarnation because of the difficulties of life here can avoid such fear by working hard to improve themselves. It is like someone who does not want to stagnate in a lower position and who must therefore learn and work to attain a better one. The second point is the confirmation of the principle that after death we are less separated from our loved ones than during life. Mrs. Foulon, who by old age and illness was confined to a tiny town in the South, had only a part of her family nearby. Most of her children and friends were scattered far away in such a manner that physical obstacles kept her from seeing them as frequently as she desired. The great distances made even corresponding with some of them rare and difficult. However, she had barely departed her body before she could lightly run to be with any one of them, overcoming distances without fatigue and at the speed of light. She could then see them, watch their family gatherings, become involved in protecting them, and through a medium she could converse with them at any time as if she were still alive. And to think there are people who prefer an indefinite separation to such a consoling idea.